Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are answering a question that was submitted to us. And we answered part of that question last time, which was on the progression of sexual addiction. And this time we want to address the second part of that question, which is, what are affairs to the addict?
Yeah, what do affairs mean? What do they do? What purpose do they serve?
Yes.
To the addict who has or is having an affair.
Mm-hmm. And again, like last time, we're going to kind of blanket statement that this is a complicated question.
Yeah.
Because every human is different. And there are a lot of different nuances to why things happen. And it's so there are a lot of different factors to consider. And as we look at those factors, some of them may apply to some people and some of them may not.
Right.
And so it is a complicated question, but we'll give you patterns of things that we've noticed or important things to consider as you're addressing this or as you're thinking about it, either for yourself or for your partner. And as part of that, again, we're going to talk about underneath stuff, which is important because if you are participating in affairs or if your partner is participating in affairs, you want to be aware of these things because these things are things that you'll want to address in order to fully heal that relationship, the marital relationship, not the affair relationship, but heal that space and heal as a person.
It's important.
Yeah.
And you can see how big of a spectrum this can be with affairs where marriage relationships are not good at all. Mm-hmm. And there's affairs where marriage relationships are really good.
Right.
I mean, by the person's own admission that's having the affair. So you see how big this can be. Because you've got both of those and everything in between. So,
And then you also have to consider affairs with someone who is an addict versus not.
Right. Which brings up another good point. Often we hear, hey, if somebody, you know, has looked at porn or is looking at porn, they must be a porn addict. That's not true.
Right.
Same with affairs. If somebody has had an affair or is having an affair, they must be a sex addict.
Right.
Again, that's not true.
Yes, which may sound very different than what you were thinking.
Yep.
Because we get that a lot.
You're just going to have to trust us on this one with years and years and years of hundreds of couples. But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. Let's jump into that. So what is then the difference, right, between an affair, an addict affair, and an affair with someone who isn't an addict?
Yeah. So for me, addiction, I mean, just the simple definition of addiction is a behavior that has negative consequences and you do it anyway. So by that strict definition, you could probably call every affair or every time you ever look at porn, you know, addiction.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily the case. As you get to know somebody's pattern of acting out, their history, and what it means to them, you begin to see that for different reasons, they do this thing. And the reason may be it's out of control. They've tried to stop and they can't. But the reason may be completely different, where they feel alone, they feel isolated. This is a way for them to feel better. And recovery is going to look a little bit different. We talk about spectrum all the time, and there's sexual addiction to feel better from trauma and hurt, and there's sexual addiction because they're bored, they have time on their hands, and they're really attracted to this or to that. And again, those are two different things, and it's a spectrum there too. So
right.
An affair doesn't have to mean addiction. It can mean relationship. It can mean unmet needs. It can mean a lack of discipline around just wanting something.
Right.
You see something, you want to go after it. Well, what's the break saying don't go after that?
Right.
So lots of different things.
Yeah, that can lead it to be an affair that is not related to addiction. At the same time, with an affair with addiction, you can still have some of those patterns as
right.
well.
Right.
Right. So again, there's so many nuances around that.
And frequency is a big one, right? If, mm-hmm. if somebody has multiple affairs, different set of circumstances, or they're hooking up a lot, lots of massage parlor, lots of stuff, well, that's, you know, pretty safe to say is going to be addiction.
Right.
But there's a lot of affairs that are sort of one-offs.
Yeah.
There wasn't a history of it. They're you know, they've been married, let's say 10, 20, 30 years, and then there's an affair.
Right.
And so, you know, you would look at that and say, well, this isn't addiction just for it's not been around this whole time.
Right. Right. So what else is going on in a relationship? What else is going on for that individual? You start looking at some of those other patterns.
So you could almost say, instead of the question being, what does an affair mean to an addict? It's how affairs mean to addicts versus how affairs mean to not addicts.
Right.
That would be something too you can look at.
Yes. So there's, again, lots of different pieces. And with affairs with addicts, there are two types of affairs, right? First of all, there are affairs that are related to like paying for sex or casual hookup types of things. And then you've got affairs with relationships. And you can have both with addiction. And oftentimes we'll see, like, for example, a justification of one versus the other. Like, they would never do this one, right? Like, there are people that say, well, I would never have an actual relationship. I'm just paying for it.
Or right.
It's just a one-off where there's no connection, right? And some people actually will justify it the other way. Like, well, I'm not just having these one-offs. It's an actual
relationship.
It's built on relationship.
Yep.
Right. And so it can be either of those things, right? There are two different kinds of affairs, and either can be seen with addiction. But when we look at relationship affairs, we have a couple things going on there as well. Right. Why is it the relationship? Is it simply because they don't want to be a serial adulterer, right? And that's sort of the justification piece there. Are we looking at a need for attention?
Right.
Right.
You probably heard of, for example, love addiction.
Uh-huh.
There's sort of sex addiction and there's love addiction.
Yes.
And the sex addiction, the implication there is it's more about a physiological process, dopamine, feeling good, orgasm, getting off. And love addiction is more about emotional needs for things like acceptance and approval and validation.
Right. And so that can show up in these types of spaces. So again, then the attention, like he's saying, can be related more to relationship and to feeling good and validated more emotionally, or it can be related more sexually and have sort of that sexual feel to it, or a little bit of both.
Right? It occurs to me that probably listening, you're like, okay. Like, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but if we go back to the question, it's like, okay.
What does an affair mean to an addict? Oh, so many things, which is exactly what David said as we talked about the question and we read the question. Oh, so many things.
Right.
And again, it depends on the person. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the underlying issues. It depends on So again, so many things, but one of the questions that we kind of came up with as we were thinking, okay, what if people are asking this question, what is underneath? Like, what are they right. hoping to know?
Right.
And what are their concerns? And that was the question, like, do they love
right.
the fair partner, or why are they doing it?
Right. I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's really what you're asking.
Right.
In a question like this.
And so when we look at that, again, I wish we could just give you this clear cut. Like, if it's this, this, or this, like, if you see this pattern, then that means it's this. There are a lot of nuances. The patterns can help you.
Yeah.
To start to see maybe what might be there. Right. And again, that's why we're talking about it.
Right.
But it is very varied. But hopefully if you're looking at this for yourself, or you're looking at it for someone else, understanding these nuances and saying, oh, this one's me or them, you know, this one's me or them, you know, you can kind of pull some of these pieces out, and those underlying things are going to help you to heal the relationship, and move forward and know these are key points that need to be addressed as we move forward.
Right.
But one of the things that it can mean is, like we mentioned before and in the last episode, there may just be a lack of discipline
right.
around boundaries. Like, if right. they have been a very unboundaried person, right? They were never taught about this stuff from an early age, and it's often related,
it. Yeah, yeah,
to sexual things. Then, yeah, they just might have a lack of discipline around, I want that thing. You know, it's kind of that impulse control.
Yep.
There just aren't enough boundaries around it.
And we've talked a lot about why that might be. If you want, go to the episode on sobriety and the sobriety equation, because that can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, you know, lack of motivation? Is this lack of values? Is this lack of understanding of addiction enabling patterns? What exactly is this? So
right.
kind of group it in that, you could say.
Yes. I mean, I think you can really, again, if this is addiction related,
yeah,
it's going to be the same types of issues around porn as it is going to be around around affairs.
And that's easier in a lot of ways to deal with than this emotional needs not being met.
Right.
This is a hard one.
Yeah.
The hardest one, I think,
mm-hmm.
for affairs, right? So this idea that something in the relationship was lacking enough that they were seeking something elsewhere. Now, that does not mean it wasn't available.
Right.
Because again, there's lots of reasons why you might be in a relationship and not have your needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And you're contributing to this pattern. If
right.
if you
we're not placing
are,
blame.
Yeah,
on
we're not placing
spouse.
Blame. Yep, yep. They will feel perhaps like their needs are not being met. They may not even have a healthy understanding of how to meet emotional needs.
Right.
So that's why this is a cycle.
It's tricky.
It takes two, right? But if they're feeling like their emotional needs are not being met, that can open them up for relationships where they do feel their needs being met.
Right.
You know, if they're, for example, withdrawn a lot, workaholics, there's not a lot of emotional connection happening, that's going to be hard for them to feel close to their
mm-hmm.
partner.
Mm-hmm.
And they will look for closeness somewhere else. Or if they're not looking intentionally, it will happen with relationships, coworkers, whatever. And again, not because it wasn't available in the relationship.
Right.
They may be withdrawing and the partner does not feel like they're heard or understood. So they're sort of good roommates. They're parenting well,
mm-hmm.
but they're not very close.
Right.
And you have this coworker who listens and understands. And
it's just there because they're at work all day.
Right, right.
It's just the proximity piece. And again, on the flip side, so we don't want to say, okay, emotional needs not being met doesn't mean that the partner isn't willing to or
right.
trying to meet them.
Right.
On the other hand, sometimes it is that.
Right.
Sometimes there are issues in the relationship that are big deals or things that are going on with the partner, and it is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And that's the goal of therapy.
Exactly.
We use this experience to make this relationship closer, more connected than it ever was before. And that
mm-hmm.
is often, I would say, most of the time, the outcome of this process. Right. As hard as it is to do this process and for the spouse to learn about what happened, there's often motivation for both of them to figure this out and say, what was missing here?
Yeah, which is wonderful. That's what we want.
Right.
And so sometimes there is something, or sometimes someone doesn't have an understanding of what it means to have your needs met or understand their needs.
Right.
Or any of those things. Another thing we want to talk about is the potential of escape.
Yeah.
It can be used as an escape, can be used to avoid real life, because relationships are hard, right? Like an affair is an easy thing because you don't actually have to do any hard work. It's just the fun.
Right. Fling. It's like dating.
Yes. Well, dating. We can get into that.
I mean, dating's supposed to be the fun.
It's supposed to be the fun thing, right?
Hopefully your dating experience was fun.
Right.
I mean, dating be before you get married.
Yes.
Dating after marriage, that's a different story. But
or dating, trying to find someone to be in a relationship with. But hopefully, if you're in a relationship like that, that excitement of the new relationship, the new fun thing, right?
You just can't wait to be around each other. And you're not talking problems. You're talking about all the hopes and goals and dreams and
fun
we'll figure
stuff.
It out. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And so it really can be sort of an escape, you know, getting the same things without having to do right. the hard work.
You're not paying bills and crying and throwing up and changing poopy diapers in the middle of the night and not getting sleep.
And having to deal with having differences of opinion about how to do life and children and all of those things.
Feeling ignored and rejected.
And your feelings hurt or whatever. It's just, it's very different. So I think those are almost two different things, right? One of those is just escape.
Right.
And one of those is wanting to have kind of the benefit without the hard work.
Right.
You know, so they're related and you can be doing both at the same time, but I think those are two separate things. So it can be that. And again, as we're looking at these, it could be all of these. It could be one of these, right? And again, it's going to depend on the person. And so when we look especially at that question, do they love their affair partner? Again, that's a tricky question. And it's
yes and no. Yeah.
And it's going to depend on what of these factors that we've talked about are in play.
Right.
Right. If there's a relationship where they either don't feel loved because they don't know how to feel loved that way, right? And they haven't developed those skills, or because
just a demanding, critical.
Yes, if they're in a really demanding, critical relationship with their spouse, then there may be a fair amount of love that they're feeling for a partner who isn't treating them that way,
right.
Or a partner that, because of the avoiding real life part. Just feels fun. They may feel very connected and feel a lot of love because, hey, this is great. I have this relationship where I don't actually have to do hard work. Right.
Right.
So, but if it's simply an escape or simply a lack of discipline, there may be a lot less love involved.
Right.
And it may be a different kind of love, right, too, as sometimes we think, this is love, but there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into real love, right?
Right, right.
A lot of, like, shared experience and struggle that create closeness. And so what do you mean when you say love, right? That's also a question to consider.
Shakespeare is written on that and stuff, so we don't need to get into what is love on this podcast, but
right, which we have actually talked about.
I mean, on this episode,
yes,
I should have said, but definitely addressed on this podcast.
So I think looking at that and what that means to you or them is also important to consider. So again, this may feel really, like, we didn't answer a lot of questions.
For hearing this, if you're happy. Well, I can say, and Sherry, you can back me up maybe, whatever it is.
Right.
If there's honesty, openness, and willingness, you'll work through it. You'll figure it out, and you will create meaning and purpose in the pain.
Right.
So we are confident about that.
And hopefully one thing that this might do is instead of going to worst case scenario,
right?
When you hear about it and like, oh my goodness, then that automatically must mean all of these awful things.
Right.
That this can hopefully help you pull back and say, okay, maybe it doesn't. Maybe I can look at this and maybe I can look at patterns with my therapist. Maybe I can look at patterns and talk openly and honestly with my spouse. Or I can look at myself and examine this and really see a little bit more clearly.
Yeah. Right?
And understand patterns. Understand the things that might be underneath that you can pull out and go, okay, this one fits. I want to work on this one, right? Or if you are engaging in an affair and you're like, I think I love this person, maybe considering, okay, what is love, right? And looking at some of those things that we've talked about and working with an outside perspective from your therapist or hearing some of this and going, oh, you know, maybe it's not what I thought as I was considering love.
Yep.
Or maybe it is. Just looking at, you know, all of those pieces. So, again, not a checkoff list and not an automatic, yay, now you're in this box because of this and that, but a space of hopefully understanding so that you can examine patterns and connections and work on healing yourself, healing relationship.
Hopefully creates compassion with that understanding. Mm-hmm. Don't oversimplify this and make it, you know, they're good or they're bad. Much more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So hopefully this was helpful. Keep your questions or suggestions or ideas coming. We're happy to address that.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.